Okay, so let's learn together a piece from Rapinkus on the Yantav Rosh Hashanah, very important piece. We're going to just learn the first paragraph, and then we're going to skip to a later part of this piece. I just want to introduce it with the Gemara that he begins with. Tanan Rosh Hashanah, Kalbay Eilam Eivrim Lefanav Kivnei Marim. We learned in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tazayin and Aleph that on Rosh Hashanah, all people that are in this world, called Baye Eilam, all human beings, Ivrin Lefan of Kibnei Marim, pass before the Rabbeinu Shleilam like Kibnei Marim. It doesn't explain exactly what that means, Kibnei Marim, but this is also a, we use this Nusach in the Yantiv Davening. What do we say? Kivakaras Raya Edrai, Mavrit Sinai Tachat Shiftai. We use this Lashon of Kibnei Marim quite frequently on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And it's not clear what this means, Kibnei Marim. So there's a machlegis in the Gemara, Bebir Kibnei Marim, Hocha Targimu Kibnei Amarna. Some say it's Kibnei Amarna. Rashi says these are sheep that you count them to take Meiser from. The way it used to work is that you had a big corral of sheep, and then when it came time to take Meiser, there would be a very little gate, and 10 animals would walk through it, and the 10th one would be Meiser, and then you'd do another 10, and every 10th animal is earmarked for Meiser. You make a little simon on it that this is the animal that has to be taken special for Meiser. And that's one pshat. That's how we come through a little doorway in Din on Rosh Hashanah, Kibnei Marim. We're like sheep. We go one by one, and that's the way it goes. Reish Lakish Amar, he says a different pshat in what Kibnei Marim is, Kimalis Beis Marim, and some of the Girsa Chayrin, which is a very skinny pathway. You can't go one here and one there. You have to basically go single file along this pathway. It's very steep and narrow. That's another pshat. And Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kechayolos Beis David, the Kibnei Marim means the Marim is like a lashon of Adnas, like Marus. It's you are the soldier in a king's army. And again, they would count you as you're going out one after another to war. They would count you single file. But basically, whatever it means, it really all means one. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each and every one of us as individuals. We're not judged as one massive glob of humanity. We're not judged as a number. But every single person is judged uniquely as their own person. And that's really whatever you teach Kibnei Marim to mean, that's the gist of the matter. And there's many Musar Sfarim that go and they discuss what the difference is between each pshat and the Gemara. Obviously, you know, when you have a Gemara like this, you understand that there is a lot of depth to each and every one of these pshatim, and we're not going to go into discussing the differences, the nuances between these three. As far as we're concerned, it's just telling us this Mishnah and with the Gemara that we go into Din alone. We go into Din alone, and that's the way it is. Okay, let's now skip to Tam Shani Dainin Echad Echad. Bepashtas Taima Shaldavar, Shabai Ayelm Ivan Kne Marm, Nidain Echad Echad. What's the simple Taich? What's the simple explanation, understanding of why we come single file through Din? Humishom Kishekeshabaitkin Kvutsa Shlem Liardin Lepratim, Vyaz Habdika Nasis Bully Dikduk Elabai Rocha Klawis. Ub Rosh Hashanah HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes Livdek Bepirot. So the pashtus is that why do we go through that gateway one by one? Because if we would go into a din together with a whole, you know, city, let's say, it wouldn't be a real din. It would be just a joke. It's, you know, what are you doing? It's like sort of, I remember we used to take Faher is for smicha and for other things when I was a bachar. So sometimes you have a faher that's like together with a group. Like let's say now I was testing all of you. So would that be an easier feher or a harder feher? Much easier, right? Because the burden isn't on you. I'm going to ask you, and you mightn't know it. If you don't know it, somebody else will. But it's sort of the spotlight, the glaring spotlight is not on you as an individual, it's on the group. So we can all sort of share the blame or the glory, and that's fine. But it's not a specific test on each and every person. That's a very different test than if let's say, a Rebbe is testing a person privately, and all of the interrogation spotlight is solely on you, and you have to answer every question, every little thing that you're asked, you're expected to answer. That's a much different din. So the Gemara is basically, Lefi Pshutai, trying to tell us that don't think that you're going to get away with it, you know, because, yeah, I'm davening with a whole tzibur over here, and everybody's they're so good and whatever. So the fact that I'm not perfect doesn't matter. We're all going to basically just get through together. That's not the way it works. The simple pshat is that every single person has to give their own din v'cheshbon. You can't just get swept along as a group, as one in many. Okay, but that's something different. Okay, I'll address that in a second. But the simple pshat is that you have to answer for yourself as a yachid. What Meir is asking is that we know that there is one of the eitzes how to get around din is that b'seich ami anochi ashaves, that if you sort of can slip into a tzibur, then you will pass the test. So how do you do that? That seems to contradict what I'm saying, and it doesn't, because what the Balai Musar say is that there are ways of getting into a tzibur, meaning tzibur has its own din, and then yechidim have their own din, and if I'm able to go into the general tzibur's din, then I'll be safe because the tzibur will survive the din. How do you do that? You do that by being mitzvah for yourself to a tzibur, by being a gabbai, by being somebody that does good stuff for the tzibur, making yourself indispensable to the tzibur. You help people out on tests, and you help people find chavrusas, or you make a cholin for them, or you buy extra stuff on Shabbos and you share it with everybody. Whatever it is that you do, but you make yourself part of the tzibur, that's a great schus to get through the din in a way that is not going to have that glaring spotlight on you. But if you wouldn't be doing that, let's say you're not a public servant, you're not a person that is really part of a tzibur, you're just like, I do my own thing, thank you very much, I'm a loner, I don't care about the tzibur too much, I want to do it on my own. So the Gemara is addressing that individual, and it's not just one, there are many, many thousands, millions of people that are like that. You have to then suffer the consequences of having to be singled out and din. And that's a very scary thing, because if the spotlight is on me and I have to like start answering for everything that I did wrong this entire year, not good. Like we might be thinking today, I think I can handle it because, you know, maybe we were having a good Elul in Yeshiva, but then think back on the summer, think back on last Pesach, last Purim, last Hanukkah, whatever, and that time of year, and maybe if we'd actually have keep a running tab of all the things that we haven't done so perfectly, we'd have a whole big fat spiral notebook or maybe several of them to answer for. I don't want to go through that. So that's why if you'd be coming to our Wednesday morning classes, we would all be privy to the tricks of how to get around that. But if we're not going to that and we are yechidim, then that's what this Gemara is telling you, that it's scary. Din is really scary. Don't think that you're going to be able to hide in anonymity amongst many thousands or hundreds of people or millions. It doesn't work that way. The din is very specific to each and every one of us. That is the scary approach to learning this Gemara. And we don't like scary approaches, right? But we have to just get it out there because Reb Pinkus wrote about it. And but then he brings, Baruch Hashem, a much nicer way of looking at this Gemara, and one that is, you know, I think very well suited for our dar. Our dar doesn't like scary Gemaras. We like happy Gemaras. We like feel-good Gemaras and inspirational Gemaras. So he will take this scary Gemara and magically change it into something that's not only palatable for us to live with, but also inspirational. So let's see what he says. Ach shamati bazeh pirish acher. But I heard a different pshat in this Gemara, nachin man, and it's very correct. Bahasha kol adam nidan l'chud, that in this set, every single person is judged alone. V'hu, shekol adam kishemamidin oisei l'din, mistaklin alav kilu ha'adam, hayachid ba'aylam. It's not the pshat that I am being interrogated and I'm petrified because I'm the only guy right now in this room that's being tested and being observed and being being tried, but it's the opposite. The fact that I know that I am invited into din, just me myself. You're going to get your turn, but right now it's my personal time to be with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That is supposed to send me a very loud message that what? That I'm special. I'm special. The Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't look at me as a number. He doesn't look like at me as like one of a mass of humanity. Like when you go on the top of like a skyscraper, and you look down at like people milling about in Manhattan. If you could see them, they look like little ants. Look like little ants. And you think to yourself, wow, you know, I'm one of 5-6 billion ants. It's, you know, so I'm really nothing, basically.
7.5.
Thank you, Mayor. I have my fact checker always right by my side. It's good. This is something that is depressing. If a person thinks that they're just dust in the wind and there's just so many people out there and who am I and what am I and do I really matter in the big picture, it's very, very depressing. This Gemara is telling us, don't be depressed. You are very special. You're not a number. You're not just a statistic. You are an individual that the Rabbeinu Shalom loves and the Rabbeinu Shalom gives special attention to and takes care of. And that should be the lesson that we take out of this Gemara. Ahavti eschem amar Hashem. Yisoid gadol be'inyan avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'amai. This is a great yisoid about Hashem's loving His nation. V'hu shaKadosh Baruch Hu oyev kol echad ki ishios pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every single person like his very own self, his very own a unique individual. Zeh Reuven Shaloi. Vahu Shimon Shalai, Kimai Abba Shayev Ben, She'ena Avase Ela Mishamshu Ben Greda. Just like a father, he loves his son, that his love for him is not just because he's a son. L'mashal, Abba Sheshikel Espanei Rachman Litzlan, a person, Rachman Litzlan, that buries his own son, he loses a child. Uba echad l'nachama. You know, people always come to a Shiva minyan and they think they're saying something really helpful and they say the stupidest things. And you have to be very careful when you go to a Shiva house what to say. You have to know what to say and what not. If you don't know what to say, then just sit there and don't say anything. But don't start like trying to be, just say things. A lot of times people say, you know, after Shiva's over, like sometimes, you know, I remember when I said Shiva, like sometimes people say really good things that are helpful and very, you know, encouraging. And sometimes people say like the craziest things and it's like hurtful. So let's say Rachman al-Hassan, a person is sitting Shiva for his son. A guy comes in to be Menachem him, but I'm Erlai. No, Loina Ra, Yeshla, Eid Banim Rabim. You got a lot of other kids. What are you sitting Shiva for? Are you crying for what? Don't you have like 4 other kids? Now, obviously, that's a stupid thing to say. Halei ha'av yizak olav, he will scream at the person, shaita sheba'olam, you fool, v'chihu haya ben, you think that he was a son? You think he was just like a random son to me? Halei hu haya shimela shali, he was my shimon, he wasn't my son, he wasn't a son, like a generic son, like, you know, you get like a 6-pack of sons. He's my shimon, he's my Levi, he's my Yehuda, he's my beloved. He's an individual yachid, he's different than all my other sons. Ima mailas v'chesreinus, he had certain mailas, he had certain chesreinus. Ima kishreinus, he had certain talents. Ubekitzer, im ha'ishya shalai, and with his personality, with his character, with his unique, distinct way about him. There's no one like him in the whole world. There's no other replacement for him. He was a unique individual, and I can never replace him in a zillion years. I will never get him back again. The same thing, says Reb Pinkus, is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael. Hashaycha shaloi eilenu, v'avasa yisanu, his shaychas to us, his love for us, eina avas Yisrael great. It's not like, okay, we're Jews, so he loves us. No. Ela avas b'nai, first of all, we're his son, and we're Reuven his son. Ze ha-Reuven shel Hashem. That's the Reuven, the Chassidish Sfarim, I think the Baal Shem used to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every Yid, like what? Like a Ben Yachid. Like a Ben Yachid, like a single, he's my only child. Aye, but there is millions of Jews in the world. Doesn't matter. Every Jew I look at like my only child. He's special to me. And he's unique. He has special. Is he perfect? Not perfect, but neither was a person's son not perfect. The person that lost his son, not perfect son. Milus Chisrinus, good, bad, challenges, but so what? Does that change anything? I love my son because he's that special child of mine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us. And it's something, you know, we should really think about this ourselves. I'm saying it to a whole shir, but basically I'm trying to say it in a way that we each get the point that it's talking not to a shir even. It's not talking to me, it's talking to you. You're each so beloved to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you're special, you're irreplaceable. Don't ever think, well, you know, what's the big deal? Does God really need me in this big scheme of things? He's got so many other people, and people are tzaddikim, and lamdanim, and tamid rachamim, and bali chesed, and bali tzedakah, and this and that. What am I doing? What am I bringing to the party? Nothing. I'm extra. That's an absolute mistake. If a child would come to you and say that to you, Tati, I feel like, you know, I don't even need to be here. What would you say to that child? Are you crazy? Do you know how much you add to the family? Do you know how much we love you? Do you know how much we care about you? If something would happen to you, I would never be able to survive. I think about you. That's what you would say to that child. That's exactly the way the Rabbeinu Shalom thinks about each and every one of us. Every one of us, the Rabbeinu Shalom, is a Ben Yachid. He loves us individually. He doesn't hate us. He's not trying to test us. He's not trying to indict us. He's not trying to punish us. He's not going to make us burn. He wants us to know that he loves us. Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. Rosh Hashanah is not a day that, you know, that the trap door is open and the noose is around our neck. I mean, I know that there are chazal that indicate that also. We can't be naive. There are chazal that do say that, but that's not the undercurrent of the day. The undercurrent of the day is Ava. It's a yantiv. It's a zman simcha. It's, the psukim say, you know, that lech echel b'simcha lachmecha, that you're supposed to be happy on Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to have confidence in Rosh Hashanah that a nes will happen, that things will be good. You'll have a good year. Why? Because I'm Rabbeinu Shalom's son. I'm his son. He loves me. And if you look at it at life that way, it's a different life. We don't have that relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, many of us. We're brought up since we're children, and I don't know if you were, but I definitely was, you know, thinking of the Rabbeinu Shalom as somebody that's, you know, going to punish us, and Gehenim, and, you know, Ein Shem, and this and that, and it creates a strain in the relationship. And when I do something wrong, when I do an Avera, a big one, a small one, I think God is angry with me, he doesn't like me, now I'm going to get punished, and that's why things aren't going my way now, because I did this. That's not the right approach to understanding how the Rabbeinu Shalom operates. If the Rabbeinu Shalom came down right now in this room, and you would be able to interview and ask him, like, are you mad with me? He'd say, are you crazy? I'm not mad at you, I love you, I'm impressed. You're like, I get such nachas from you. Look what you're doing. You're learning in yeshiva. You're davening. You're doing mitzvahs. You're it's chaydish el, and you're taking it seriously. I love it. I can't believe that I had such a son like you. That's what he would say to us. We don't hear him say that because he doesn't communicate like that to us. But if he was, says Reb Pinkus, that's what he would be doing. It's an amazing thing. It's a completely different way of looking at the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's a love. It's not a fear. It's not a patch. It's not an einish. It's not a gehenna. It's not a din. It's just a day that, yes, the Rabbeinu Shalom is examining us, but he's examining us as yechidim through love. He says, you're my maishala, you're my shimala, come here, we're going to spend some time on Yom Tov together, we're going to talk about our problems, we're going to deal with it, you're going to do a little tshuva, and I'm going to be mechaper for you. Or let's try to find a different case that's more negeya to the emadin. Nitar latzmeinu abba sheba levakris b'nei ruvin b'yeshiva. A father comes to visit his son, Reuven, in yeshiva, and to see how he's doing. Humagil yeshiva, so it's an out-of-town yeshiva, and your father, let's say, it's an Eretz Yisrael, so I fly to Eretz Yisrael, and I come to my son's yeshiva, and mechapes es b'nai ve'inenu. I'm looking all over the Beis Medrash, where's my son? You know, he's supposed to be here, we're paying good money for him to be here, where is he? And they tell me, so about your son, he wasn't having such a good zman, and he didn't have a cheshek to learn, so he basically went to Eilat for a couple of days. So kishiroyim sha'aba kayesman. Now, I'm not happy about that. I'm getting very angry. They see that the smoke is coming out of my ears. So what happens? What do they say? Minasim like you, they try to calm me down. And what do they tell me? Loinaira, it's not the end of the world. What are you getting so upset? Habet svivech re'e kamarab ma'alaimdim. Look at the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is packed. Marabba asma, there's such great asma in our yeshiva. Loinaira shebacher echad chasen. Oops, so one bacher isn't here. What are you getting crazy for? What would the answer be without looking? The answer is pashut. Kishirayim shirak chara af ha'aba yaisa. He's just making the father even crazier. Hey, my mlay tov. Oh, well, bincha sheni shimon kenya. You have another son here, Shimon. He's learning. He's sitting learning geshmak. So what are you worried about Reuven for? Avala abba misrages v'lo ibchaslay ichbaslay mikol alam. He doesn't care about the hundreds of guys learning shtark in the Beis Medrash. Who ain't a mistabbis mother shil Shimon. He doesn't even care about the fact that Shimon is learning well, his other son. That's not a nechamatim either. Who writes a lirois masmid es Reuven shalai. He wants to see his Reuven succeeding. Kach gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu baidek es masmid. This is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on Rosh Hashanah. Who baidek kol echa kilu hu haReuven shalai. He checks for every single person, making sure that it's my Reuven is here. He's not content. HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have a million tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael that are doing amazing things. That doesn't make him less worried about us. Every single one of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about. Because we're all his sons. We're not just his sons, we're his sons Reuven. We're his sons Shimon. We are special to him. And Rosh Hashanah is a time that he's looking for us. He comes to the Beis Medrash. He wants to see where is he? Where is that person? Where is that son that I love? And if he doesn't see us or he sees that we're, you know, not doing well, then he's gonna care about us. He's gonna worry about us. He's gonna try to fix the problem. Kisha'ivrim lefanav kibnei marin. When we pass before the Rabbeinu Shalom Rosh Hashanah like sheep, it's not a line of Jews waiting in din. Every yid that comes into din, he has a relationship with him like with a son. So, you see what Reb Pinkus just did? He flipped the whole Gemara around. We started off, I think, with a scary Gemara. That, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to be in a big mass of people. I have to have the bright lights over my head, get interrogated, be looked right through my body, seeing what I did wrong, what I did right, what type of year it's going to be. That's a scary Gemara. now Rapinkus basically just flipped the whole Gemara on its head and said, no, it's not scary, it's beautiful. The fact that we go single file individually before HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'din shows us that we're not a mass of people, we're not numbers, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about each and every one of us as his own son. And he spends time with us individually in Rosh Hashanah. You know, there's a very interesting, I think it's brought in the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not positive, but it's definitely it's a Kabbalistic thing that's known, that on Rosh Hashanah morning, there are moments that all of a sudden you, if you're a sensitive person, you begin to start crying on Rosh Hashanah morning. Sometime on Rosh Hashanah morning, like all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, you have like a moment of, you know, of hispilus or inspiration or, and you're very moved then, and you just start crying. You just like, all of a sudden the floodgates open, you're just crying. It doesn't have to necessarily be at a certain given part of davening, it could be. I just read this morning in a sefer that a lot of gedalim started crying by the Avodah on Yom Kippur. You know, when you sing Aleinu and Banachnu Kairim and that whole, it is very moving. If you the niggin and the words and bowing down on the floor and reminding yourself of the Beis Hamikdash, it's like the closest you can get to Asad Lavai, and it's like, you know, Chazanish, the stipler of Hutner, would all cry like out loud during those moments of. But on Rosh Hashanah also, there's moments in time that all of a sudden you just like break down and cry on Rosh Hashanah. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the reason for that is that that's your moment that you're undergoing din as an individual. It's not the whole tzibur going, you know, crying. It's an individual that's all of a sudden crying. And that's because the moment that you're crying is the moment that you're actually being judged on Rosh Hashanah morning. And it might be that, you know, the tears don't necessarily have to be tears of fear. It might be tears of joy. It's like a reunion between a father and a son. The Rebbeinu Shlom is taking us privately, b'yachidus, into his inner chamber. And maybe it's a scary din in the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us and hugs us and says, it's going to be okay. Because that's what a father does. A father doesn't want to punish a child. Father wants a child sometimes to learn a lesson, but ultimately, you know, he hugs him.
CCC.
What?
CCC.
TLC?
No, C, triple C.
Yeah.
Concern means you care for critique.
What's the last one?
Critique.
Okay. So the Rebbeinu Shalom has CCC. And that's, you know, that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It is a day of din. We can't like do away with every single chazal today, unfortunately, you know, and you'll find some scary chazal and also, no doubt. But we don't have to look at it that way. We should have a little emes hadin, but at the bottom line is you have to understand that Rosh Hashanah is a beautiful day. Yom Kippur is a beautiful day. It's a day that you can get close to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's a day that in din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say, L'kaina avada badin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquires his servants in din. Din is a scary thing, but din also brings people close. When a father, you know, I remember once, you know, in the early years of yeshiva, I don't do this anymore, but I used to, like, when I first came here about 19 years ago, it was right after my upshara and I started being a mashkiach, and I used to like act like a mashkiach, believe it or not, and I would actually give musar and critique people. You know, that, you know, went right out the window after a couple of years. But that's what I used to do. And there was a boy that I really liked a lot, and I saw that he was like, he had tremendous potential, and he wasn't using it. He was like a chachkala in yeshiva, like he was like just like the mascot in yeshiva, and people were like. He could have been, you know, very chashuv, and he was like, he wasn't coming to davening. When he did come, he would schmooze with guys, and he would like cut seder or whatever. And I knew that he had tremendous potential, and I And, you know, he was, and I sat with him and I started saying, you know, you could do better. I wasn't being mean to him, but I was being stark, I guess. And I said, like, I expect more from you. And he got very upset with me. He started crying. And as soon as he started crying, I just wanted to, like, hug him and, like, say, no, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. I think that was actually the last time I ever gave anyone Musar. But from that point on, from that moment on, our relationship became, like, the closest relationship ever. Because sometimes when you give Musar, it's not pleasurable for the person giving it, and it's certainly not pleasurable for the person receiving it, but it creates a certain ava. It creates a concern. It shows that I didn't give that musar to every guy in yeshiva, because every guy in yeshiva, I wasn't, you know, either didn't need it, or if they did need it, I thought weren't going to receive it well. I thought that he would receive it well. And he initially didn't. But from then on, he started steiging, he started, you know, he matured. He was a young boy, he came like very young, he came straight out of high school, and he matured, and then like we became super close. I was Masada Kedushin by his chasna years later. He didn't, you know, get married in yeshiva, he got married a few years later, and he still, you know, I was, and to this day, I'm very close to him, but I think it was all because of that. Din is not a terrible thing. Din is not a stira to ava. Sometimes din is really the it's like the sister of Ava. What's the opposite of love? People think it's hate. It's not true. The opposite of love is indifference. If I either love you or I couldn't care less about you. That's what the opposite of love. Love is not, hate and love are actually pretty close, because at least it means that I have an emotional connection with you. The opposite of love is I don't care about you. Love means I care about you. Now, what do I do because I care about you? If I care about you, I'm going to give you musar. If I care about you, I'm going to treat you with a little bit of din. That's why, you know, if a father has kids, he doesn't, it's not all hugs and kisses. Sometimes you got to scream at your kids. Sometimes you got to give your, you know, give some musar, because, not because, you know, you hate them, but because you love them. It's precisely when you love somebody that, es asher Hashem yev Hashem yechiach, when you love somebody, then you give teichacha. If your father doesn't give you teichacha and he's completely apathetic to you and couldn't care less, then that's not a father-son relationship that is, you know, is necessarily a healthy one. A healthy one is when a father cares, and caring means hugs, kisses, I love you, but it also means sometimes I'm a little disappointed in what you did. I think you could do better. Rosh Hashanah is a time of din, but din doesn't mean punishment, Gehenim, you know, it's over, forget it, I'm nervous, I'm tense. It should be a sign that, wait a minute, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me din, that means that he must care about me. And if it's a private din, and he's taking me into his inner chambers, and he's talking to me, and he's judging me, and he's discussing with me, you know, what I did right and what I did wrong, and how proud he is of me, and what I could do better, that's what a father does. That's love. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. So it's the best holiday of the year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because it's really it's a yontiv which you feel the Avas Hashem more than perhaps any other yontiv. You know what the closest that you're going to get to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur?
Sukkis.
Nope. No one's going to get this. Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is real din. But Tisha B'Av is a day, Ekra Laimait, it's going to be a very big yontiv. You know why? Because again, It's the time that you see. That's why Tisha B'Av is in the month of Av, because the one time that you really feel the fatherhood of the Rabbanu Shalom over you is not when everything is sweet. It's when things are tough and there's din, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Listen, I you know, I have to do this. I don't want to do this, but I have to do this because I'm your father." You feel a certain closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the month of Av. It's fatherhood. Fatherhood is sometimes tough, but there's tremendous love on Tisha B'Av also. There's tremendous love in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's the best times of the year when you're able to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concern and care and individual attention. And that is the mahus of Rosh Hashanah. It's a day to prepare for, but it's a day to look forward to. And when you feel on Rosh Hashanah morning those tears, you should know that these are tears of love, because it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship with me, cares about me, loves me. Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. Hashem is saying that I love you. And you should never, ever forget, any time, even if you're doing the biggest aveira in the world, you have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. I just want to It's late. I just want to just share with you just one story that popped into my head. There was a big Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. The name slips my mind right now, but he had a Talmud in the yeshiva, and a roommate came over to the Rosh Hashiva and said that this Talmud goes out every night to the movies. He puts on perfume, cologne, whatever. He goes out down, he watches the movie, goes to the bars, whatever he's doing in Eretz Yisrael, and in an Israeli yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a complete aberration, and you got to take care of the situation. The
bachur.
What's Rosh Hashiva's name?
Naiman?
Your name, Yaakov Naiman. This guy's unbelievable.
We
said it
before.
I know, okay. It's still crazy that you remember it and I don't. Anyway. So very good. Yaakov Naiman. So he's an old Zakin Rosh Hashiva, very, very chashav a yid. And he said, okay, thank you very much for snitching on him. He says, next time he's about, you're his roommate, when you see him about like getting ready, making achanis next time to go out, it was in the middle of the winter, come to my home, which was, I guess, next to the yeshiva, knock on my door quickly, let me know when he's about to leave. I want to then have a talk with him. He's like, oh, good, the roommate's going to lace into him, he's going to kick him out of yeshiva, he's going to get, kidabai, what's coming to him. Anyway, that night, there's a knock on the door. The roommate comes, tells Rosh Hashiva, okay, Yankel's about to, leave the dorm. He's coming. He's going out. He's gonna, if you hurry up, you can catch him. He's about to go onto the bus. So Rabbi Yaakov Naiman comes out and says to him, "It's very cold out." He says, "Yeah, it's okay. I have a sweater. It's good." He says, "No, you need a coat." So he says, "No, it's good. I'm going on the bus. I don't need a coat." So the Rashiva said, "No, I insist. You need a coat." And he takes off his coat, his winter coat, and he puts it on the bachur, and he gives the bachur like a hug and buttons him up like a father would to a child. And that was the end of the story. And the next day, the boy brings back the coat to Rashiva. Now, the interesting part of the story is that years later, this bachur became an older person. He said that I was having a very hard tkufa in yeshiva then, and that's why I was going out every night and partying and movies and whatever. And he said that night I went to the movie. I still went to the movie. He says, but I didn't watch the movie. I was sitting in the theater, and I was just like enveloped in the coat of the Rosh Hashiva. I was just like, my eyes were closed, and I was just like taking in the warmth of the Rosh Hashiva's coat. And then I came back, and from then, it was a life-changing experience for me. Because I felt the love that my Rebbe had for me. And that's the smartest way of din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to patch us. He's smart. He's smart like Rabbi Yaakov Naiman. He understands that he's not going to get what he wants from us always by punishing us, by making things bad for us. Rosh Hashanah is a day that he puts his coat on us. And he says to each and every one of us, here's my coat, enjoy the warmth and feel it throughout the rest of the year. Know that I love you, know that I'm rooting for you, know that I have your back, know that I care about you. With your Averis and with your Chisrinus and with your Milus, and I love you individually. I'm rooting, I care, I can't get enough of you. That's the beauty of Rosh Hashanah. It's Kibnei Marin. We come individually. We're not a yeshiva, we're not a community, we're not Klal Yisrael. We're just me and you, individually, separately. Under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hog, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coat, with a warmth, with a love, with the Chiba Yisera that only we have. And I think if we think about Rosh Hashanah that way, it's going to be a real one for the books. We'll be able to, Mitzvah Hashem, be Zeichet HaVeksiv HaChassim HaTayvah.
I can't physically, I'm going to respond to one thing.